This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer, a free-for-all Friday.
You're asking to hear something I don't want to say, but if I do say it, I think you ought to hear it.
You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
All right, then you asked for it.
Yes, we did. So lay it on us. Free for All Friday means you set the tone. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Good afternoon and welcome to this Free for All Friday, the last business day before the election on Monday. Well, I guess Monday is voting day. And I'm sure there will still be plenty of last-minute politicking over the weekend. It'll be quite frenetic for all the party leaders. And of course, I want to hear from you. What are your thoughts, especially if you haven't voted yet? Because so many of us have. The numbers for the advance polls, 7.3 million people. And again, my apologies to one of our recovering politicians who guessed it would come in around 6 million. And I thought, like, what are you dreaming in Technicolor? But it was way more than that. And that is a very significant proportion of the electorate. Nobody knows if it will affect overall turnout. I don't think it will favor any one party over another, because I think that people voted according to their schedules, and it didn't have to do with who they were supporting. There is one thing from this week that I do want to address. So on Monday, the Conservative leader, Pierre Poilievre, was here for a CARP Votes event. People got a chance to see him in person, judge him. Afterwards, I got a one-on-one interview, and boy, a lot of people were really angry about that. And I'm kind of baffled. They said, how could you talk to a partisan leader? Well, we talk about politics most of the time here. I mean, I saw it as a get. I mean, some people even said to me, you're denying Mark Carney the opportunity, as if Mark Carney is waiting for my opportunities. The fact is, we have made multiple asks to both Carney and to Pierre Poilievre. And I mean, it's not a simple thing. It's like a very long time drafting some of those asks. And with Carney, I mean, I even said, hey, you were the cover person, the cover man, the cover model on 2013 Zoomer magazine. So why don't you come back? Well, that pitch obviously didn't work, but we definitely asked more than once. And same thing, we asked the Poilievre people more than once, many times before it came through. And frankly, it came through, I think, because, you know, one of the things we've been talking about in this election is how older people who would tend to lean conservative are in favor of the Liberals this time around, and it's young people who are flocking to conservatives. I think that when the Poilievre people realize they should really try to win back some of their older demographic, they turn to us. Simple. Anyway, and again, a one-on-one interview. I mean, just to give you an idea, my idea in those is to basically just to try to get them off their talking points. I had about 15 minutes, which is a decent amount of time. And, you know, even when, say, the provincial governments make an announcement and they send the ministers out, and, well, we try to get those too sometimes, but you get 5 or 7 minutes, and that is a good amount of time for them to strictly stay on their talking points and on the things that they have rehearsed. So I try to get the conservative leader off his talking points. I think I succeeded a little, where you get maybe a sense of who the person is. And, you know, Mark Carney, it's not just me. He has not given those one-on-ones because he's ahead. And you can screw up in those. And he's not an experienced politician. And he has made some mistakes. So I think that is the lay of the land. Again, people were annoyed with me. You can call in if you were annoyed with me about doing that interview. Not to give myself too much credit, I must have done something right, because the last time I looked, there were 21,000 views on YouTube. Anyway, the numbers, 416-360-0740, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Lots of other things to talk about. I had a little rant with Jane this morning. I went to an event at the Metro Convention Center yesterday. Getting there was a hellish nightmare, worse than usual. This after I had heard some city councilors talk about how congestion was already better due to their efforts. I don't know what city they were in. And also seeing two of those traffic wardens, traffic agents, do nothing. People blocking the box. Ambulances trying to get through. Anyway, time to go over to you. The lines are already full, and I will stop talking. Let's begin with Jerry and Markham. Hi, Jerry.
Good afternoon, Libby. The one thing about history is you cannot rewrite it. No matter how hard the carnivores try. Surprise, the economy didn't take care of itself. The money in your wallet and mine has lost 23% since the Liberals came into office. Imagine, 23%. And the web of lies that the Liberal voters have bought into for the last three elections still exists today. All they did was trade one wealthy narcissistic eagle for another. But now I'm making it personal. It's bad enough the Liberal Party has significantly impaired and hurt my net worth through the 10 years of crazy spending, mismanagement, ill-conceived policies, but their intent is to steal the birthright of my children and grandchildren and by inflicting more capital gains taxes on all of us. The government has made it impossible for our children to buy a home of their own, or even work in jobs with anything resembling a future. And once again, they're asking for your vote. And I'm saying, please, for God's sake, think about your children and your grandchildren. Do not vote for these people again.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry, for that. That's one opinion. Just one note on that. They were smart, I think, in their election platform. So there was a planned increase that actually, I think, was supposed to be in effect on already in capital gains, and they have canceled that. So there you go. But yes, a lot of people agree with what our last caller was saying. Mary in Toronto does not agree, and she's unhappy with me. So Mary in Toronto, hello.
Hi, Libby. I just want to make a couple points. In my opinion, it was not an interview with Mr. Polyev. It was reading from.
You're breaking up, Mary. Try again, and if not, you'll have to call back because we can't hear you. But go ahead.
Yeah, right.
Okay, she's gone. She was disappointed with me. Mary, call back, I don't know, on another line because you were breaking up there. And again, people, you can agree or not agree. I mean, sometimes the point of an interview like that is to look at the person and say, I can't stand that person. Anyway, Dawn in Hamilton, you still haven't decided yet?
No, I have decided, but I just didn't get out to the advance poll.
Okay.
Okay. So happy Friday, everyone. But yes, yeah, so more information is leaking out every day. Like, so I wasn't even aware that the Liberal government plans in 2026 to slap a $20,000 tax, tariff, whatever you want to call it, on new gas-powered vehicles. Why isn't that being broadcast far and wide?
Just a minute, on new, gas-powered vehicles.
Gas-powered vehicles. This is Mark Carney's handprints all over that. Even though he just got into office, he is driving industry and consumers with the carrot and stick approach. You will buy electric vehicles, and we will give you rebates and subsidies, or you will be penalized if you purchase against our wishes. I mean,
okay.
The guy is a net zero fanatic, and I wish Canadians would wake up to that. Great Britain, England, is currently suffering under what he did to that country. And people keep harping on about what a great, you know, his credentials, how he was the Bank of England, you know, the chairman of the Bank of England.
He was the governor of the Bank of England.
Governor of the Bank of England. But he pushed those net zero policies constantly over there. And all you have to do is look at what happened to Britain. Mark Carney endorsed the Labour Party over there. Keir Starmer, as soon as he got into office, went after the seniors, canceled their heating allowance. I mean, he comes across like he's all good for the boomers. Well, those boomers are going to wake up too late and have buyer's remorse really quickly.
Okay, Dawn. Thank you for that. Thank you for your calls. The people calling here today, I do not seem to have a lot of liberals here, but we have in the past, and the polls have really tightened up, but that doesn't mean that they've tightened up in terms of seat allocation. The way the seat, they call that vote efficiency, that generally favors the liberals. But let's hear what our callers are having to say in terms of the vote and their views. Okay, so we'll go to Mark and Whitby. You want to talk about health care? There has not been a lot of talk about health care.
Hi, Libby.
Hi.
I'll make it quick and everything. Like, the NDP are saying to hire more nurses and everything. And I was in the hospital 2 weeks ago, and I waited 5 hours to get. I went by ambulance. Now, the PCs and the Liberals are arguing over tariffs and everything. But the NPP says that he promises to hire more nurses and doctors, because the nurse said to me that we're so backed up, like there's not enough of us. So I'd like to know why the PCs and Liberals are not saying anything about the nurses and everything.
The federal government transfers the money to the provinces, but when it comes to hiring nurses and doctors and all of that, it's a provincial responsibility. The federal government does not have a say in any of that directly. They direct some kind of policy, and they would make sure that what the provinces are doing with the money is in line with the Canada Health Act. But in terms of something as granular as that, it's not them, Mark. But, you know, I think it would have been worth talking more about health care, because at the end of the day, that's where the money comes from. Let us go to Maxine in Milton. Hi, Maxine.
Oh, hi, Libby. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have two comments. First, I want to comment on what Dawn said earlier. she spoke about leaks that, you know, Carney's going to slap $20,000 on car, on gas-powered cars, whatever. But I would suggest that don't speak about leaks. Speak about actual policy that is enacted, okay? So I just want to make that comment there.
And I think that those things were actually released, and I don't know that they are enacted, but a long time ago. It's like long enough for people to forget, because part of the plan was to phase out, like there had to be a certain percentage of electric cars being sold in Canada, and there were some kind of penalties. And honestly, I don't remember. I have to look it up. But anyway, go ahead, Maxine.
So what I'm saying is that, you know, she's talking about leaks. Anyway, that's aside. My next point is about Pierre Poilievre. Mr. Poilievre was in cabinet during the Harper government, right? And he voted against everything that he's now proposing. For instance, he voted against the minimum wage increase. He voted against the increasing seniors' retirement to remain at 65. He voted for increasing seniors' retirement to 67. And now he's acting as if he's such a nice poster boy for seniors because he thinks he's losing. So I just want people to think, when they hear Mr. Poilievre speak, think about what he voted against and what he voted for that he's now proposing. And another example is the gun. He's saying, oh, I want to make the city safe. But he voted to repeal the handgun ban to say, oh,
no, 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 that was a hunting gun thing. I hear you, Maxine. Thank you for your call. And you know what? The Liberals also have reversed unpopular policies. I mean, the first thing, Carney came in and he said he's canceling the consumer carbon tax. That was huge. And then also this capital gains increase that was scheduled, that was supposed to be retroactive to last June. So, yes, they're both doing that. That's what political parties do. But just for balance, they're both doing that. Anyway, let us move along. We've got Ron in Guelph, and you want to talk about the size of the ballot, in Carleton.
Thanks for taking my call, Libby. I just pulled the vehicle over. It was in the, I can't remember, it was the National Post or the Star, and they were talking about the ballot that was, as I said, in the pre-election. The ballot was so long that they had to try and fold it two or three times just to get it in the ballot box, because there was almost 100 names on the ballot. And my question is, what do you have to do to actually get your name on the ballot? What's required? I thought it was a whole bunch of signatures and an amount of cash.
Yes, but you know what? Zeev's on the other end. I'm going to have him look it up exactly, but it is. But the barrier is not very high. And so my advice is you should go into the ballot looking for, who you want to vote for, because those are pretty long ballots. I voted in the election, and there were more candidates than I would have expected, because there's, hey, a Marxist-Leninist in my riding and a libertarian, I think. So there you go. I guess it's amusing, and somebody is doing it to amuse themselves or to make some kind of point. Ron, thanks for your call, and we'll try to get the answer for that. So let us go to Tom in Ajax. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Libby. As a senior, I'm really, really puzzled as to why seniors want to vote for Liberals when the Conservative in this election definitely has the better policies for seniors especially, but generally all over. And they want to vote for a guy, Carney, who is still known in the UA or the EU and the UK as the unreliable boyfriend and Marxist Carney. And I just, it really puzzles me. Maybe there's, I don't know what it is, but this guy so far left, did you know, I didn't know, he wrote a book called Building a Better World for All.
Mm-hmm.
And just a quote from that to show how far left he is. Western society is morally rotten. It has been corrupted by capitalism. And this is what people want to vote for. I just, even just taking the policies aside, the conservative one is better. And I just, you know, his reputation, everything, you know, Pierre Poilievre, that a lot of people don't like him because of his demeanor. But here we're supposed to vote for the policies and the party, not the individual. So it's so much better for seniors that this election to vote conservative. I really just don't understand why people are just turning up their noses and saying, no, I want to stick with the same old thing.
Okay, Tom, thank you for that. I am looking at the clock and I am overdue for our first break. We'll be back with more of your calls and your comments. The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. Of course, the election, the big hot topic today. It's the last Friday. The last free-for-all Friday before the election, and also reminding people we're going to have a tickety-boo good election show here on Monday night, but we'll be back with more of your calls and comments on the other side of the break.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer.
When one considers the meaning of life, it is a struggle between alternative viewpoints of life itself.
A free-for-all Friday.
And without the ability to defend one's own viewpoint against other, perhaps more aggressive ideologies, then reasonableness and moderation could quite simply disappear.
Name your topic and be as deep as you like, as long as there's a point in there somewhere. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this free-for-all Friday, the last free-for-all Friday before Monday's federal election, an election many people agree is very consequential, and possibly that's why it really has become a two-way race, with the smaller parties seemingly getting squeezed. So it's between the Liberals and the Conservatives. You know, a couple months ago, before Justin Trudeau resigned, the Liberals were that cliche. They were saving the furniture. They were going to get trounced. But Trudeau resigned and Mark Carney came in, and they seem to be able to be telling people that it's a whole different party, even though basically he's got the same people around him. He has canceled some of the most unpopular policies. And it turns out that the Zoomer demographic seems to be more in favor of the Liberals. I don't know. Let's talk to our callers. So let's begin with, who have we got here? Let's go to Simone in Parkdale. Hi, Simone.
Hi there. One of the things that are concerning people are the lack of hospitals, and especially in some smaller communities. Some places are closing. Now, I did hear yesterday on the radio station that the Brookfield, that Carney has promised more hospitals. Now, his company, Brookfield, is in the business, is very much involved in building private hospitals. And there are some in Australia, and the government is after them because they're charging $100 a night. So what type of hospital would he be building in Canada? And another thing, people are afraid to go into the subway. Well, do they want more of this because of the violence? Keep voting for Carney, you'll get more.
Yeah, well, have a look at their, you know, one of the things on the whole issue of crime, whenever I try to get some answers on it, it's like multiple jurisdictions all pointing the finger at each other. But the bottom line are a couple of federal laws, which some people say have to be changed, because that is why they say criminals are being released multiple times. Catch and release, catch and release. How many times do we hear about a violent crime committed by somebody who was breaching their bail? I mean, really, you know, for me, it's a big issue. Thank you for that, Simone. Okay, let us go to Brian in Mimico. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Libby. Well, we're down to the wire. You know, that phone call between Carney and Trump turns out quite wasn't what we thought it was. But he said, well, okay, we'll make a deal after the election. Now, you think that somebody like Mark Carney, a world-traveling businessman, entrepreneur, banker, who's lived in the States, he moved Brookfield, his company, to the States, the headquarters. His wife still lives there, where their house they had, because her business is there, that he would not look upon the opportunity for Canada to join up with the United States, making it the biggest country in the world, basically in Fortress North America, that would not seem to him to be the opportunity and deal of the century, that he can come out with sometime in the future, say, oh, things are so bad. It's just like they said in that government thing, 2040, that's how it's going to turn out. We have to join up with the United States. Do people really think he wouldn't do that?
Thanks, Brian, for your call. I don't think he would do that. But you never know. I mean, I want to refresh people's memory about this issue. And it was, you know, on the campaign trail, like something is a big story for, I don't know, maybe a whole day, maybe not even a whole day, and then it's on to something else. But this was yesterday's story, and it came out from Radio-Canada that first phone call with Trump where Mark Carney said, he respected Canada's sovereignty. He treated me with respect. He never called me governor. Well, apparently he never did call him governor, but he did raise the issue of Canada as the 51st state. So Mr. Carney was maybe misleading us. And of course, for people who think that dealing with Donald Trump is the most important issue, they tend to be with Carney. So no wonder he did that. And you judge for yourself. Was that misleading? I mean, his explanation was, oh, well, he treated me with respect in every other way. So it is another thing. We got Bill in Hamilton. You want to talk about the NDP?
Yes, I do. Apparently, everything I hear about how the polls are, how the Liberals have gotten closer to the Conservatives and now passed them, everybody is suggesting it's because NDP voters have switched to the Liberals so that the Conservatives can't get in. And so I'm not 100% sure what's going to happen on Election Day. I think everybody seems to assume that the Liberals are going to get in. But I'll tell you this. As a conservative, I will take great satisfaction, knowing that there's a good possibility the NDP party will be eviscerated, destroyed, reduced to almost a non-factor. And that hopefully will teach all those people who are supposed to be NDP voters switching to Liberal. Half the time, anyway, you can't tell the difference between either one. But that is my sincere hope, that if one thing happens on Election Day, the NDP are basically almost destroyed.
Thank you for that. Yeah, even NDP people say that they expect that that's what will happen. The NDP sees itself, they said, hey, that's because Jagmeet Singh propped up the Liberals, the Trudeau Liberals, so long, and they see themselves as the policy development arm of the Liberal Party. So the Liberals took some of their better ideas, and now the Liberals also took some Conservatives' ideas, like getting rid of at least part of that carbon tax. So there you go. We'll have to see what happened. Like I said, a couple of months ago, it was the Liberals who were, quote, saving the furniture, and now it's the NDP. Okay, Let us go to Glenn in Port Perry. Hi, Glenn.
Hello. This is a wonderful show.
Thank you.
Especially today. There's a lady called in a while ago about all the things Pierre Poilievre voted against. What they're not letting out is the fact of why he voted against them. A lot of these things were just, you know, a bill when it's passed has got a lot of things in it. And it didn't pass because of maybe the main bill was wrong, but something inside of it was. That's all. And people don't look into it to see this.
Go ahead.
One other comment. He did not get rid of the carbon tax. He lowered it to zero.
Well, he got rid of it for consumers, which probably means it's going to be higher for businesses.
No, he did not get rid of it for consumers. He didn't take it out. He merely lowered the amount to zero. That way, if they win the election, they can up it any time they want without any can do anything about it.
Good point. Thank you. All righty. Let us go to Margaret in Whitby. Hi, Margaret.
Well, hi, Libby. Thank you for taking my call. I'm sorry I missed your interview with Pierre.
It's on YouTube. Easy to find.
Okay, I will look that up. What I wanted to talk, there was a lady who called and regarding the 20% on cars. And in 2026, the car manufacturers were to make electric cars, and they have to make 20% of electric cars. And by 2035, it's going to be 100%. In other words, you would have to pay, you'd have to get an electric car. And they want to do away with the gas combustion cars. And I was up in Alliston just last week. And basically, you know, Toyota came out with, and everybody was worried that Toyota was going to leave and go to the States. And my fear is if the Liberals get in, there's an industrial tax that they're going to put on all the businesses because they got away with the carbon tax. So we're not going to get any rebates, and they're going to tax the industrial. Well, the industrial people will literally turn around and charge us, which will make cars go up even more.
We just lost you. I don't know what that was about, but I think we get your drift, Margaret. Thank you for your call. Let us go to David in Bradford. You want to give us your granddaughter's perspective?
Yes. First of all, thanks, Libby, for giving us out here in Radio Land the opportunity to be in the conversation. When we watched the debate, my granddaughter, she more watched the people, and her comments were like Pierre Poilievre. He was very nasty. He was very mean. He kept interrupting and speaking over the other people, like disrespectful. And I think Mr. Singh did that a bit too.
He did it a lot. He did. When I was watching, I thought, gee, Singh is really annoying. I didn't think any of the others were, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, yeah. Well, particularly Poilievre and Singh were, and the other two were different. And it's made me stop and think. When we were walking to school, we passed the conservative election sign, and she said, "Don't vote for them." Like she already had formed her opinion at 10 years old because of the nastiness.
And I thought,
really, do we want to have a nasty person as our prime minister? Where Mr. Carney's not a nasty person. He's like, I don't know him, but he seems to have the experience, and he seems to be a nice, respectful man that at least lets you speak when the rules say you should speak. So I just wanted to add that, for my granddaughter's sake, we don't want a nasty role model running our country who that's all his experience really is for all the time he's been there, is being a nasty, critical guy of all the other people.
Okay. I as a person, so Carney, the word is that he has a very bad temper. he really snapped at some reporters who give him very favorable coverage, by the way, when they asked a question that he didn't like. I mean, saying things like to a CBC reporter, look inside yourself for asking that question. And I did not think that having spent some time now with Mr. Polyev, I don't think he's a nasty person. He's very adversarial when he is on his feet, and some people don't like that. And I was going to ask, how old is your granddaughter? So she's 10 years old, and that's her impression. And the other thing I'd say is, you know what? Whoever the prime minister is probably going to turn down my dinner invitation. So as long as they're effective and do the right things, I don't really care, because I'm not in line to work with them and I'm not in line to hang out with them. So it's not really a consideration, though I guess it is for a lot of people. Okay, let us move along. Gordon Scarborough, you're saying that the country is divided. I'll agree with that.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, obviously we're across the nation, we're politically divided. And if I do believe the polls, especially in Ontario and Quebec, that the Liberals will really clean up. It's going to be a red machine, win. And unfortunately, and so that will give the people who are Liberal supporters, that they'll get all their benefits, like the dental care and pharmacare and $10 a day child care, et cetera. But if, when I look at the Liberal platform, just quickly, there's some things I don't agree with. For example, using taxpayers' money to build homes for people to live. You know, we know when the government has to spend, want to build stuff, it costs a lot of money. And then there's also that long gun buyback program, spending hundreds of millions of dollars, which is right now is a disaster, because for example, the government wanted the RCMP to administer it. The RCMP apparently said no. Then they moved on to the provincial police, like OPP, and they said no. Then they wanted the Toronto cops to do it, and they said no. And they wanted the post office to take the long guns. They said no. It's a disaster. Meanwhile, we have so many handgun problems. So why are they doing this? To appease the people who had that tragic event they call Polytechnic. Those women were unfortunately shot by someone with a long gun, so they're appeasing those people. You know, and then there's the things like the EV mandates. You know, so if you hang on to the Liberals for another 10 more years, you'd be forced to buy EVs and so on and so forth. So, yeah, and then, of course, there's a problem with crime. And, so anyway, you can tell where I'm going. So, yes, I do want change. But either way, we're going to have problems, because I don't think anybody can really deal with Trump. Nobody can really deal with him. So that's all a bit of a farce. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I agree with that. I don't think, in terms of dealing with Trump, I don't think it matters. I don't think anyone can predict what he's going to do or hold sway with him, including his own people. I think Trump will be Trump. And I'm looking at the clock. I need to take another break, so I will take it. And we will have more of your calls and your comments on the other side of the break.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer, a free-for-all Friday. Step up, say your piece, and we promise not to interrupt.
Excuse me!
Just be lively about it. We have a lot of listeners hanging on your every word. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free For All Friday. And I have to say, boy, people are really engaged in this election. And since the writ was dropped, I've had varying different kind of breakdowns among the callers. I've had them equally divided, liberals and conservatives. We've had a couple where there were more liberals calling in. Today, definitely that is not the case. But Election Day is on Monday. And as I said, we still have some time left. And I'm going to take more of your calls and your comments. And I'd like to hear, especially if you are undecided or if you have not voted yet. But let us go right to Eric in Waterford. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Libby. A couple things. There's a recent report that's come out from a government think tank. This is part of the federal government. And it's from a group that's, I guess they're called the policy alternatives or something. Anyways, the report came out a couple of days ago, and it speaks to looking down the road. This group is to guide government policy in the future. And it speaks if we keep going in the direction we're going, it's going to be a case of where people are going to start living off the land, and it's just going to turn into a real turmoil in society. I'm not doing it justice, but that's the gist of what they're saying. And my point is, you know, there's an old adage that says you want more of what you got, keep doing what you're doing. And I think you want more of this mess, keep voting liberal. That's my point, Libby. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that was a report. I mean, it sounded like something out of The Last of Us, something on Netflix. I don't know. But, it was a government report funded by the government. Anyway, let us move along. We are looking ahead to that election. And let's go to Bernie in Mississauga. Hi, Bernie.
How you doing, Libby? You know me. I'll be voting NDP in this election. Right now in the polls, the conservatives and liberals share about 85% of the vote. So I think the social conscience of this country will never be defeated. We're only 8% in the polls, but that 8% will fight for social justice across this country and will not be tearing the country apart like the liberals and Tories are doing.
All right there, Bernie. Thanks. Yeah, I hadn't heard from Bernie for quite a while. But yes, he is a staunch NDP supporter, and that has not changed this time around, though there are a lot of, sometime NDP supporters that are voting liberal, and that is one of the reasons that they are doing so well, at least in terms of the polls. You know, let's wait until Monday to see what actually happens. We don't have to wait that much longer. And I talk to some people who think, you know, we should not report polls to the extent that we do. And they certainly have a point. Anyway, let us go to, who are we going to? We're going to Rob in Ottawa. Hi, Rob.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to comment on, I think that all Canadians and freedom-loving people around the world should be outraged that China has admitted recently that it put executed four Canadians. And my point is that when are Canadians and other Westerners going to wake up and realize that if you travel to a totalitarian state such as China, Russia, Iran, and many, many others that aren't in the news, that it's your own fault. Whatever happens to you, happens to you, and that the Canadian government can never do anything to help you when you're in other countries. Cuba, another good example.
A terrible story. And now we're kind of, let's talk about a rock and a hard place. You know, the United States, well, it's hard to say that there are friends at the moment. And with imposing this economic warfare with these tariffs, well, then there's China. China interferes with our elections, executes our citizens, allegedly on drug charges in those cases. And remember, the two Michaels held hostage there for years. Wow. So you make a very good point. And I don't think our government takes this whole issue of foreign interference from China, from Iran, from Russia seriously enough. It is a big problem. Rob, thank you very much for your call. Let's take a call from Gary in Mississauga. Gary, you're voting Liberal for the first time.
Yes, a long-time listener, first-time caller.
But wait. You've got to get the bell. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Yes, I'm doing a lot. I'm in my 70s, and I'm doing a lot of things differently for the first time, and one of them is not voting PC or conservative. I'm voting Liberal, and I'm just not happy with what I see. It's not, they're really just not my party anymore.
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess you can take, you have to take with a grain of salt what one party says about the other, but when you don't like what the party is saying about itself to its supporters, then you pretty well know where you stand, and calling on its supporters for freedom and to patriots and the opposition is woke. Kind of drives me over the wall. And if it's the freedom to drive trucks into downtown Ottawa and then criticize when other people are protesting. I'm a law and order kind of guy, so I like that. But you have to trust to a certain extent. There's a matter of trust, and it comes down, do you trust Mark or do you trust Pierre? Because leadership is important. And I think ever since Jean Chrétien was prime minister, the office of prime minister has had more and more control and whatnot.
Well,
and,
yeah, and that's a feature that was very marked under the Trudeau Liberals. Well, also Stephen Harper with the Prime Minister's office directing them, and often they're not even allowed to really speak for themselves. Gary, just before I let you go, what are some of the other things you're doing differently? Does it have to do with health, wellness?
Well, I suppose. That's enough for right now, but just making that change and
Okay, Gary doesn't want to talk about the other things he's doing differently. Okay, well, I hope there are good things. Thank you for your call, Gary. And let us go to Bob in Mississauga. Bob, you have a question about where Mark Carney actually lives.
Yeah, does he have a residence in Ottawa, or does he, like, I've heard his family lives in New York?
No, they live in Rockcliffe, according to what I could find, which is a very nice neighborhood in Ottawa, since they've moved back. I don't know if they also have a place in New York or whatever. He's kind of a globetrotting guy, but since coming back, they live in Rockcliffe in Ottawa.
Oh, that's pretty cozy there.
Oh, yeah. Well, why not?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I'm looking at the clock. We do have a few minutes left. Let me give the numbers out again. 416-360-0740. Toll free 1-866-740-4740. And let's go to Marie and Aurelia. Hi, Marie.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Go ahead, Marie.
Okay, I have voted conservative all my life, too, and helped them all out, but I can't vote this time for Pierre. I think he's the most despicable man I've ever met.
Really?
Well, yes, because look at how he's all attacked Trudeau. Now he's attacking Mark Carney, and that's all he thinks about doing. And he was in the truck things in Ottawa. And he was part of that.
He supported that. He wasn't part of it. I have to say that they attack each other. I mean, Mark Carney has attacked Poilievre, and certainly Jagmeet Singh has, and said things, frankly, that are not true. I hear you. You don't like him. And that's one of the reasons, people, that it's good to watch a slightly longer interview, because sometimes you confirm you don't like a guy. But they all attack each other, Marie, and in ways that are not necessarily truthful or nice.
I know, but Trudeau or Trump is interfering in our election.
Well, yeah, he might be. Absolutely, he might be. And he is a huge problem. There is no question about that. Okay. Tom in Hamilton. Hi, Tom.
Hi there. How are you today?
I'm fine. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the air.
About the election, I'm just a young guy that just turned 80.
Yeah.
I've seen a few elections in my day. And I just wanted to say, the election's gone to about, who do you trust? Not the issues anymore. Do you trust Carney or do you trust Pierre? And are we in a state again where we're going to elect another millionaire as prime minister that really talks what they know about the common person, which I kind of find very doubtful?
Multi-millionaire. Mark Carney has got to be, and I don't begrudge him that, but multi-millionaire would be the case, and I think that's why he's so reluctant to release his assets, because the numbers, I think, are very eye-popping, and I'm saying that because we have friends who also worked for Brookfield, and we sort of said, what kind of numbers would that entail, and, not confirmed, but they'd be pretty eye-popping.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
So, yes, I think you are absolutely right that it comes down to trust and who do you trust. And I don't know, it's a difficult judgment to make when everything is mostly very choreographed. You see little snippets of people sticking to their talking points, Tom. So you voted yet?
Correct. No, I haven't, because I'm one of these people that looks at the world thinking a lot can happen in a week. So I didn't want to do an early vote a week and a half ahead of the election, just in case something changed radically. And I would have probably made a mistake.
I think you are absolutely right to do that. I always used to like going on election day. It's just that I got a busy work day. Tom, thank you very much for your call. And again, I think Tom has it nailed. It is about trust. People, whoever you want to vote for, please make sure you get out and vote. It is really important. It's happening on Monday. And that is all the time we have for Fight Back for today and for this week. And we will be back here on Monday on Election Day.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.